Exodus 39, verses 32 through 43, these are God's words. Thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished, and the children of Israel did according to all that Yahweh had commanded Moses, so they did. And they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its furnishings, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, the covering of ram skins dyed red, the covering of badger skins, the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony with its poles, and the mercy seat, the table, all its utensils, and the showbread, the pure gold lampstand with its lamps, the lamps set in order, all its utensils, and the oil for light, the gold altar, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, the screen for the tabernacle door, the bronze altar, its grates of bronze, its poles, its utensils, the laver with its base, the hangings of the court, its pillars and its sockets, the screen for the court gate, its cords and its pegs, all the utensils for the service of the tabernacle for the tent of meeting, and the garments of ministry to minister in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and his son's garments to minister as priests, according to all that Yahweh had commanded Moses. So the children of Israel did all the work. Then Moses looked over all the work, and indeed they had done it, as Yahweh had commanded, just so they had done. And Moses blessed them. Amen. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. It's a wonderful conclusion here to the making of the things that were necessary for the tabernacle, for God to dwell favorably among his people, his sinful people, who've been in the design and or have been in the construction of the tabernacle for a while, but you remember that in between the designing and the constructing, we had the incident with the calf, providence permitting the people to display why it was so desperately needed that God would be with them by way of grace, by way of atonement. He would bring them near through a mediator, through sacrifices, because he is the holy and glorious God, and they are a sinful people. And of course, he had anticipated this in all that he had given in the design of the tabernacle when Moses was on the mountain. And now he sustains them in the work that is needed to bring it to fruition. Everything now is prepared. Everything is ready. And so again, we see that this grace comes at the initiative of God by the requirement of God. Up in verse 32, according to all Yahweh had commanded Moses, so they did. And then you have a list of all the things they bring to Moses, all the things, and then immediately at the end of the list, verse 42, according to all that Yahweh had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. Moses looked over all the work, and indeed they had done it as Yahweh had commanded, just so they had done it. And so we see that in order that sinners may be favorably received by and safely, blessedly have the presence of the living God, he has given his exact commands about how this can be done. And of course, we have the benefit of more of the history of redemption. And we can see that his exact commands had their focus on not just our coming near God, but God first coming near us and the Lord Jesus Christ, indeed taking upon himself our own nature, making himself our tabernacle, the God-man, more fit, more suited for coming near God than any tent of divine design or temple whatsoever. And God was bringing us near to him in Christ. And so it's wonderful to have this obedience to the commandments of God. Now, by listing everything completely, giving a full inventory like this, he's also implying, isn't he, that they didn't bring anything that the Lord had not commanded. So what they brought was just as the Lord had commanded. They didn't bring anything that the Lord had not commanded. He's very specific, very detailed in his commands, out of grace, out of mercy. that we might not sin against his holiness in how we come near him. What a dreadful thing it would be. What a dreadful thing it will be. Not too many days from now, historically speaking, in the text, when the ordination of Aaron and his sons is completed, and on the last day, two of his sons will come near, bringing something that the Lord has not commanded. They will sin against his holiness, and they will be consumed by divine fire for doing so. But God is merciful and loves us, and therefore he gives us the way of coming. And he shows us, on the whole, in the account of Scripture as a whole, that the way of coming is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who many parts of his ministry, character, work, were anticipated by the things in this list that they are presenting to Moses. So that's the first part that that God reviews. He receives all that he has commanded, and then the second part is the Lord is pleased with it. How can the Lord be pleased with the work of men? According to all that Yahweh commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. The Lord approves of it, and his prophet blesses them, speaking in his place. Just as Yahweh had commanded, just so they had done it, and Moses blessed them. Well, the Lord is the one who sustained them in the work. He gave not only the instructions and the commands, but remember, it was also his Spirit who sustained them in it. And we too, we want to come to worship Lord's Day by Lord's Day in the public worship, and do those things that the Lord has commanded, but also to do them in dependence upon his Spirit, and knowing that as we do what he has commanded, as we do it in dependence upon his Spirit, that his Spirit is consecrating us, applying the sacrifice of Christ to us, removing by Christ's sacrifice the guilt of what we offer, stirring up our faith so that coming in Jesus, Jesus is the righteousness and the worthiness of our worship. And there's this pleasure of God, the pleasure that we saw at his baptism, pleasure that we saw at the Transfiguration, where God says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And now we know that when we come in the way that God has commanded, in dependence upon his Spirit, we come through Christ. And he considers us in Christ, and he responds to his Son in our worship. And he says, "This is my beloved Son, and with him I am well pleased." And so it's a wonderful picture of the Israelites bringing all the different things that God has commanded, and that God the Spirit himself has carried them along in doing exactly according to his word, exactly according to the design, that they didn't even know was anticipating who Jesus is, what Jesus would do. But we have this picture of God's pleasure in, approval of, the worship that he has commanded that comes to Christ. They present all of them, and you can imagine in each one of these things, a class, boards, sockets, ramskins, dyed red, etc., all the way down, all the different things. And how many different men were involved, and each perhaps being assigned to bring before Moses the part that that he was the lead on or whatever, and they present them all, and then it's all been done, and they're waiting for the verdict, and Moses says, "This is exactly according to the commandment of Yahweh," and he blesses them. Just as he commanded them in the name of Yahweh, he blesses them in the name of Yahweh. And it is the foreshadowing of, or it participates in the same dynamic of, "This is my beloved Son, with him I am well pleased." We could even say, "This is worship through my beloved Son. With it I am well pleased." And that was true of tabernacle for a time. That was true of temple for a time. It was true wandering in the wilderness at first in the tabernacle and then at Shiloh and other places. It was true in Jerusalem where the Lord chose to put his name, to use the language of the scriptures. And then you remember the Samaritan woman asking the question about either Jerusalem or the mountain, and surely mountains are better than Jerusalem, she thought. But of course, whatever God chooses is better. He doesn't choose like man does. He chooses according to his command. He chooses according to his pleasure. He chooses especially according to the place where his son would offer himself as once for all sacrifice. And his consecrating blood, his atoning blood would be shed, and it would also be consecrating blood. And Jesus' answer is, yes, the Jews were right. The salvation is from the Jews. But the time is now here, where it's neither on the mountain nor in the tabernacle. Because the time is now coming where it's not in Jerusalem, but all who worship him would worship in spirit and truth. Because when he came through the tabernacle, he would say of the tabernacle worship, this worship comes through my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. And then when it was at the temple, this worship comes through my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. And now we worship with Jesus literally in heaven, having taken the blood of our atonement and the blood of our consecration there with him. And we come through faith in Jesus, and we have Jesus lead in the reading and the preaching and the praying, the one who prophesies from heaven, even in the singing. He sings God's praise in the midst of the assembly. And what an amazing thing it is to go from one act of worship to another every Lord's Day, and to know that God says of that worship, this comes in my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we in Jesus are his beloved children, with whom he is well pleased. So there's that wonderful conclusion, verse 39, and Moses blessed them. It's all presented for review, not 39, verse 43, and Moses blessed them. Everything has been presented for review, and God is pleased with it. And it's all based on that wonderful at the end, or in the middle of verse 32. Thus all the work of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, was finished. And we can hear echoes going backward and echoes going forward to three places in the Bible. One, the end of creation. Thus all the work of creating was done. He says, God reviewed, God beheld what he had made, and behold, it was very good. And so there's a significant it is finished there. And the most famous it is finished, at least up until this point, of course, the it is finished on the cross, and the forsakenness of the Son for our sake, his suffering punishment in our place, has been completed. And he is back in. Covenantally speaking, of course, he never loses the love of the Father. Father never loves him so much as when he is giving himself to receive the penalty for our sins. But the penalty is finished. The sin is finished. The mission, the work is finished. And because Jesus did this, Philippians 2 says, the Lord gave him the name that is above every other name. How pleased he was with the finished work of his beloved Son. And there is coming yet another glorious, it is done, at the end, when the Lord Jesus returns, and his enemies are destroyed, judgment is completed, and he has shown himself not only Alpha, the Word, who is God and Creator from the beginning, but Omega, the one who concludes all things at the judgment, and the dwelling place of God is with man. And it is done. The tabernacling of God with man in the last day. God completes the good work that he has started out. And he reviews his work. And behold, it is very good. And we may rejoice to belong to him, to be sustained by him. If this was true in a small foreshadowing way in these Israelites as they were making the tabernacle, how much more true for us who are in Christ, that we can look forward to the completion of all things. So here we are at the beginning of another day. We're tired. Some of us are sick. And our sanctification is very incomplete. We've got all of this ongoing weakness, sinfulness, and yet we know that the work of Christ has already been finished, and God is perfectly pleased with him in the work of Christ in his own life. And now the work of Christ in his people's lives is ongoing, but will soon be finished. And with it, the Lord will be well pleased. Praise God. So let us rejoice that God has ordained to bring us near himself in Christ, and let us seek to live according to all of his good commands. Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you for reminding us that the point of the construction wasn't just that it would be completed, but that you would be pleased with it and with your people for the sake of your Son, whom you have given in your love. And we pray, O Lord, that you would make us to know your pleasure in us, in the Lord Jesus, and to see your commandments as opportunity to walk in the way that participates in him. Help us by your Spirit, we pray, just like you helped the craftsmen with the different parts of the tabernacle. Help us with the part of your work in this world that is assigned to our life, and the specific part that is assigned to this specific day, and make us to consider with joy your pleasure in the Lord Jesus and your pleasure in us as united to him. Make us to know your blessing, the smile of your countenance, your outpouring of continual favor upon us for the sake of Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.